It's good. Hey. God is great and greatly to be praised. Christianity is not a public thing. It's first of all and most importantly personal. It's personal. You have to have a personal love affair, personal relationship with living God. And if you don't have that, you have nothing. The public aspect is meaningless, absolutely meaningless. Just a human work, some kind of public social gathering. But our faith is personal, and today I want to share with you the story of Martin Luther, because it was at this time, in 1517, the very first date I put up here. This is when the modern world began, right there. 1517, and prior to that, this man had a personal relationship with the living God. Prior to that, he was a Roman Catholic. He was a priest. He was also a professor. He was a doctor. He had all of the religion you could possibly have. He was raised in a very strict home, but something happened as he was preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, he realized he didn't believe it. He was preaching a word he didn't believe. He was teaching a word. He's living a religious life outwardly, impeccably. But he himself wasn't personally in love with. In fact, he didn't even like God. Because the harder he tried to please him, the more he found he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. And some of you have experienced that. The closer you try to get with God, the more difficult you realize, oh my gosh, I got so much sin in me, a lot more than I thought. I got so much contradiction in me. One minute I love God, the next minute I want to do my own thing. Has anybody experienced that? Yeah. So Luther has a German word for that, Anfechtungen. Anfechtungen. It means even though I do everything outwardly, inwardly I'm still terrorized. And so he was afraid of God. He didn't hate him because, because God was hateful. He hated him because his law was so holy and Luther was so unholy. And even though he was impeccable, he did everything you were supposed to do and more. Did more than anybody else. But still, he hated him. And so I want to share that story today because it changed my life as well. His particular story, I was a complete pagan, total, absolute pagan, totally selfish, no niceness in me, never was nice, never was warm, never was anything but a liar, a fake, a phony, wicked, wretched, devious, more treacherous than anyone else that I knew. Now that I've met you, I realize I'm okay. But I knew I was devious, and I knew that I was more devious than anyone. And I was a good fake, though. I could pretend to be holy. I could pretend to do whatever people wanted me to do in order to get what I wanted. But I did not believe in God. I did not fear Him. I did not love Him. He meant nothing to me. So that's my story as well. Now, Luther was a religious person. I was a non-religious person. But it turns out the same. So whether you grew up pagan, as I did, without any religion at all, I never even went to a church till I was 11, and my third father, who happened to be Lutheran, forced me to go. I wasn't against it. I just didn't have any meaning to me. And the more I learned about the church, the more I saw everybody's a hypocrite. I just realized they don't believe these things. I don't believe them, but they don't even believe them. And it's just a bunch of rituals and so on. And so I didn't know what to make of all that, except, it's probably a good thing. Church was probably a good thing. Probably keeps people from stealing hubcaps. But my personal life was not impacted by it at all. And I didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to stop sinning. I liked sinning. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I never felt bad about it. I never felt bad about hurting people. I never felt bad about lying, deceiving, cheating, stealing. I never felt bad about any of those things. So I didn't have a psychological guilt. I had no guilt whatsoever. Whatever I did it coldly, calculatedly, and deviously, and I loved doing it. I felt good about it. Now, is there anyone here like me? It's good. It's good to have a few compatriots. But, and I didn't want to be a Christian. I mean, I would never pray, Lord, help me to be Christian or something. I didn't want to be a Christian. I liked sinning and I liked being pagan, and I felt honest about it. And sounded right to me. So what Luther experienced was the opposite of me. He tried real hard. I didn't try at all. And to this day, I've still never tried to be a Christian. I've never tried to please my wife. I've never tried to be nice to anybody. Ever. Now, no matter what you think, because I'm a good liar, no matter what you think, if any good comes out of me, it's Jesus. I didn't even help him. I didn't even cooperate. It's just Jesus mowing me down. It was just Jesus killing me to get something done that he wanted done. And I give him all the praise for that. Because it's the best thing. It's the best thing. Not that I did a good work, but that he was able to kill me. Because I was never going to die, and I was never going to quit, and I was never going to love him. I was never going to worship him. I was never going to serve him. I was never going to love my wife. I was never going to love anybody. And I didn't feel bad about that at all. The fact that some people were religious didn't bother me. That just meant I could take advantage of them. Do y'all understand that? So I was happy that people were Christian because it made them easy targets. It made them easy targets. Because they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit or anything like that. They were just faking. And I knew it. I did it deliberately. They did it like lying to themselves, like pretending like they really were good people. I didn't. I never thought I was a good people. Not when I was 2 or 4 or 8 or 12 or at any time. I never ever thought that, nor did my mother think that I thought that. And I just grew up in a rotten family, and I love it. I love my rotten family. My uncles were mafia. My mother slept around. She tried to abort me when I was a kid. I wasn't supposed to be born, one night stand. My third father, men came and went. He was a Lutheran outwardly, so that's how I learned about Luther. Because he kind of forced us to go to church. And to me, it was just ping pong and go home. But for others, you know, they were looking for God. I never remember one thing about God. Though I went to class and studied God and all that stuff, had no meaning to me at all. I just increased my deviousness, used religion to get what I wanted there, and then when I was with another group, I just swore like a sailor and didn't care. So I could be any person I wanted to be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I could adapt myself to those that swore one second and then turn around and say, hey, praise the Lord, Jesus. And I could just be completely a liar the whole time. My parents never knew what I did. I lived a complete double life. Walk in the house, go up in my room, jump out the window, be gone all night, come back. They never, ever, ever found out what I did. Even when they were, you know, when I was in my 50s or something, they had no clue as to what I did because I was a liar. And I just lived the life I wanted to live. Now, most of you are not that openly wicked. Some of you are. But most of you are not. But most of you are sneakily wicked. You have your little double standards and so on. But I just did mine openly. But my parents never caught me because I was a good liar. And I look nice. I look innocent. I do not look like a devious person. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, I just look like a nice person. I'm friendly. I smile. But inside, I'm just something else. Until I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus personally, it destroyed my pagan life. I could no longer be a pagan. I could still behave like one. But it bothered me. And I got a conscience all of a sudden. And I started to feel that was wrong the way I was treating my wife. That was wrong the way I was dealing with people. Cheating my whole way through school, everything. I got scholarships. I was top of the class because I cheated. Never, ever do I remember studying. Never do I remember doing anything honestly. I cheated on everything and I loved it and I was good at it. I could steal almost anything you can think of. Never got caught. So, you know, to me, crime paid. To me, that was something good. Because I was a natural at it. I just felt naturally nasty. Naturally wicked. Now, I didn't have any father till I was about 7, because the men came and went, and so I didn't have anybody to watch over me. And my mother always worked, so no one ever took care of me, which I loved. I liked not having anyone care for me. Now, most people would resent that or wish somebody cared for them or something. Not me. I loved being alone, isolated. I could be in a group, but I could be alone. Totally. I was always a loner. I was a loner. Does anyone know what a loner is? I mean, I live my own life inside of myself, and I don't need anybody, I don't want anybody, and I'm just going to exploit you if you get close to me. And I was a happy person because I always got what I wanted. If you had it and I wanted it, I'd just take it, and you wouldn't know it because I was clever about the way I took stuff and lied. Now, I'm not telling you that to marvel. I'm only telling you that to say, today, I love Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. I don't steal anymore. I'm not lying. I'm not into any of that. I love my wife. I love the church. I love God. I mean, I love Him. When I'm alone with Him, I'm talking to Him, praying to Him. And He cleanses me and purifies me. If I never succeed, if I never amount to a hill of beans, I'm totally successful. Because I know Jesus loves me. And I love Him back. Now, my loving Him back doesn't make any difference because I just can't help it. There's no virtue. It's just, I can't believe that the God of the universe would care for me. I can't believe that He'd like a guy like me because He knows how devious I am. I could fall back into crime like that. I could do it easily. I think that way automatically all the time. As soon as someone speaks a word, I do not think a nice thought about you. I think you are a liar. You are devious. You don't know how treacherous you are. That's what I think. When I meet a nice person, I actually think I'm meeting a nasty person, just lying to themselves and then trying to lie to others. That's what I think. So I immediately expect the worst out of everybody, and I'm never disappointed. Now, I'm telling you all this to explain Martin Luther, who grew up nice. I mean, his mother, if he stole a nut off the kitchen table, she'd beat him until he bled. That's good Catholic training. That's teaching you, behave or else. And he had fear. Not only that, he feared that there were witches, elves, devils, demons everywhere. And in the 16th century, most people did. Most people were, you know, full of all kinds of demonic world stuff. Now, there's a lot of people in America today that are like that, too. If you've lived in the drug culture, you've taken up witchcraft and all that stuff, then you actually live in that world where you're scared, or when things happen in the house and you don't know where they happen and all that. I don't believe in any of that. I believe it's true. It's just not part of my life. I don't care about Satan, devil. That never troubled me. I wasn't afraid of Satan. I just didn't love God. I would prefer Satan to God. Satan's someone I could deal with. But God, I didn't understand him. So he wanted to come and not only save me, but he wanted to change me and transform me into his likeness. And I didn't want that. I didn't mind the save part. You know, okay, well, save me, but then let me sin. Just let me sin all the way to heaven. Then when I get to heaven, I'll get a harp. I'll have to play and sing the Jesus thing for all eternity. But it sounds better than the other deal. I didn't think I want to go into the fire of hell and burn and gnash teeth and all that. That did not sound interesting to me. So if that's the future, I'm going to go to heaven. But I want to live like hell till I get there. And since he's a merciful guy and has to forgive you, and he doesn't have a choice, too bad for him. Another sap. Another guy to take advantage of. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So, but if God were real, if he really were real, and I did not know anybody that I could look at and say, he's real in that person's life. I didn't know anybody. I knew a lot of people that said they were Christians, but when I got close to them, I found they lived a double life. Now, that's easy for me to pick out because I live a double, triple, quadruple life. So it's just easy for me to read right through people. You may not realize that when I'm looking at you, I'm looking right through you. I have no love for you at all. I'm just looking right through you. You're a liar. You just lied. You're a phony. You're a fake. You have two agendas and so on. That's what I'm thinking. But of course, I'm smiling while I'm doing that. I'm looking like, hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, because I fell in love, though, I don't care now. I don't care how wicked people are. I want people to be wicked. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm at home. I'm at home when people are nasty, when they don't forgive you, when they're liars. I'm totally at home. And when people are hypocrites and they pretend like they're innocent and sweet, doesn't bother me either. Doesn't bother me at all. I enjoy that game. But it's a game. I can tell when you're in love, you're happy all the time. When you're in love, and I'm happy all the time. When you're in love, you're happy all the time. I don't mean just smiling, but you're deeply at peace. And when I meet somebody, I know you love Jesus. You love Jesus. I can tell you don't love anything in this world. You're in love with Jesus. Most people will say, I'm trying to get there. That didn't happen to me. I don't understand that. To me, you either love Jesus or you don't. You either love him with all your heart or you don't love him at all. So it was no middle ground for me. Either you're totally 100% in love with Jesus, which you didn't do, it's just purely a gift, or you don't love him at all. So I don't understand all that. Well, I'm working at loving my husband, or I'm working at loving my wife, or I'm trying to get close to God. That's not part of my life. You're either for me or against me, Jesus said. That's my life. I was against him. I served Satan. I loved it. And then one day I fell in love with Jesus, and that was the end of that. Total, dramatic, 100% fall in love with Jesus, and I've never changed since. I know the day and the hour and the moment when that happened, and I've never been the same since. So it isn't easy when you're treacherous to give it up. When you're a liar, it's not easy to give that up. I mean, it's not hard. It was easy for me. I knew how to lie, and I knew how to tell the truth. In order to be a good liar, you have to know what the truth is in order to lie. So I knew exactly how to be what I was and then how not to be that anymore. And it was no effort on my part. I just realized Jesus loved me and it just changed me. It's like, wow, totally different world. If that's true, I want to be part of it. All right, let's look at Romans, only two verses. chapter 1, verse 16. This is the verse that changed Martin Luther's life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, for it's the power of God. The gospel, the good news, the word of God, is the power of God. It's the power of God. Okay, so here's the Bible. Here's the Bible. And as Martin Luther was studying the Bible, all of a sudden, he realized in there, the truth was going to set him free. But he couldn't find it. He kept looking and searching. But one day it happened. One day it happened. And he fell in love. It was over these verses right here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, Luther, being a good Catholic, did not know the gospel. He knew the law. He did not know the gospel. Because in the Catholic Church, you have to be good. In the Catholic Church, you have to be good. If you're bad, that's bad. If you're good, that's good. You go to heaven if you're good. You go to hell if you're bad. So in the Catholic Church, they could motivate you by scaring you that if you keep doing that, you're going straight to hell. And that works with people. I'll just tell you right now, that works with people. Most people, I would not be one that it worked with. But most people would be afraid. That wouldn't scare me at all. I didn't believe in hell and, you know, all that stuff. I didn't believe in heaven. I didn't believe in anything. So that didn't scare me. But it would scare most people. And most people are then moved by that. Oh, watch out. Look what you just did. Something bad's going to happen to you. I didn't care about that. Bad was just part of the world. Bad things meant nothing to me. I was just amazed. I'm still amazed to this day that I'm not dead and that I'm not in prison. I'm totally amazed that my wife hasn't divorced me and no one has stuck a knife in my back. I'm still amazed that I function. I can't believe it. Because I don't have any teeth anymore. I don't have any backup. I don't have any protection. I don't have any defense. I'm completely vulnerable. And I don't want one. I'll never have one. I'll never defend myself. I'll never explain myself. I'm not interested in anybody's thought. I don't care what anybody thinks about anything. Now, you've got to have a Jesus to do that. You'd be an idiot if you didn't. I used to defend myself and attack everybody else. And that's one reason why I went to school and then went to school and went to school to get degree after degree after degree in order to have all the weapons I needed to defend myself and attack anybody who came near me. Do you all see that? I didn't go to school and get A's because I was smart. I went in order to get weapons because I was nasty. So I got 6-7 degrees. I just kept getting them. Went to the top schools. Could go anywhere in the world. Could have a scholarship to go anywhere in the world. So I had the brains, but it wasn't because I was smart. It was because I was nasty. And I even went to religious school, learned about God, became an expert on God, knew all the stuff that had ever happened and so on. I still didn't know him until I came to Texas. Yee-hoo! When I got to Texas, I realized these people are idiots down here. They still believe in the Bible. They're not like liberals, like me. I was totally liberal. I'll believe in anything. But they believed that Jesus Christ was real, personally. You could have a personal relationship. They were rednecks, goat ropers, you know, narrow-minded, bigoted Southerners. And I didn't come from that background. So I remember the first time when some lady in the church hugged me. My God! You know, I wasn't used to that because Germans don't hug. We kill, but we don't hug. You know, and nobody in my family ever kissed or hugged or anything like that. I wasn't used to that kind of thing. But when somebody came up, I remember how stiff I was. I was like, my God, get this woman off of me. This howdy stuff is too much. You know. So that was kind of scary to me. I said, I don't want to be like that. And my wife actually wanted me to be more loving, more affectionate, more whatever. But I didn't trust that kind of thing. She wanted me to say I love you every day. Imagine that. She wanted to say every single day. It's like, why? How come? I said it once. That'll last till I change my mind. Just I'll tell you if I change my mind. I don't want to say that. But she wanted me to say it every day. Constantly reassure her. Were you crazy or something? You don't need reassurance. I just told you I love you. That's it. I don't want to say it anymore. I don't like that. I'm German. We don't talk like that. We don't act like that. So, but now, of course, it's different. Now, I do everything Peg says. Do y'all understand? When you're a Christian, you don't ask what you think, what you feel, what you want. You ask what Jesus thinks, what he feels, what he wants, what he says, what he does. And that's what you do. I don't pay any attention to Jim. Jim is dead. I pay attention to Jesus. Whatever Jesus wants me to say, I'll say it. If the whole world hates me for it, I don't care. If the whole world praises me for it, it won't affect me. I'm just going to say what Jesus wants me to say, do what Jesus wants me to do to the death. Do you all see that? But the first death is not physical. The first death is psychological. You got to hate the whole world to do that. Love of the Father is hatred to this world. Hatred to God is love of this world. One, you got to do one or the other. You're either going to love this world or you're going to love God. So I made my decision long ago, burned all my bridges, completely turned against all the liberals, all the Obamas, all those stupid guys from Chicago, from Yale, Harvard, New York, all the homosexuals. It's going to be a hate crime now. I just turned on all of that. Nope, that's not God's way. I'll do it God's way or nothing. To the death. So kill me. Doesn't scare me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not afraid to die. Physically. But the first death is psychological. No more self. How many have killed yourself? Nobody. You can't kill yourself. But how many have been killed by God's love? That's what kills you, is the love of God. When you meet the love of God, unconditional love, where He loves you no matter what, that's what kills you. When you realize someone loves you more than you love you, and more than anyone else could ever love you, that's what kills you. And you realize, wow, I never had anything like that. The God of the universe, who has all the power and all the brains and all the whatever you got to have, He loves me? That's amazing. Is that not amazing? I mean, to me, it's like, I didn't think about it. It just happened. I didn't want it to happen. It just happened. Have you had a personal love affair with Jesus? Because after that, no one had to teach me about being perfect or tithing or anything. I just knew I just have to be a Jesus person. I want to go all the way with Jesus. I don't care if my wife loves me or hates me or leaves me or stays with me. I don't care. I just want to follow Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. It's amazing. Now, I did seek first the kingdom of God, and He has given me everything else. And I don't believe I'm done. I believe I'll get more and more and more, no matter how it appears or how it looks to anybody. I believe that that's just testing. So someone can make a judgment, well, you're not getting anywhere. True, to your appearance. But don't at all be fooled by that. God is just testing everyone. What would happen if a man follows God? I'll tell you what will happen. You'll be abused, hated, misunderstood, and persecuted. How many are, that's exciting. Is that exciting to everybody here? You see, that's what I want. Because you know what? Persecution and suffering only hurts your flesh, never hurts your spirit. It'll purify your spirit, but it'll crucify your flesh. Y'all see that? So the more suffering, the more pain, the more hatred, the more misunderstanding, the better. In the world you have trouble, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the world you have trouble, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, I take everything in the Bible literally. When I read something in the Bible, if it says rejoice always, I rejoice always. If it said rejoice when you face various trials, I rejoice when bad things happen. I rejoice when people hate me. I rejoice. I totally rejoice in that. Y'all understand? I'm not working at it. I just do. So instead of griping, no one has ever heard me gripe or complain about anything. I guarantee you have never seen me sad, nor have you ever heard me gripe or complain about being abused or raped or used. People do it all the time. It doesn't bother me. You can abuse me all day long. Won't bother me a bit. You can speak behind my back. You can speak well of me when you're looking at me and then go and tell the opposite to somebody. It just doesn't bother me at all. I'm sorry, you have no impact on me at all. I always knew you were a liar anyway. It doesn't bother me that you just lied to me because you lied to yourself long before you lied to me. Do y'all see that? So if you don't love me with all your heart and soul and strength, you're not a believer. If you do love me with all your heart and soul and strength, you're a believer. But you didn't have anything to do with it. That was Jesus. And he just forces people. It says he puts a table before me in the presence of my enemies and then just forces them to watch me eat. While I'm munching away at my Cheerios, he's got people looking at me, hating me, but there's nothing they can do because I'm just completely safe. The Father prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I take that literally. So I don't really care that the bad guys get me or that they shoot me or whatever. Do it. Do it. I'm in good hands. Yahoo! Anybody else like me? Dead to this world, alive to God in Christ Jesus. All right. This is the story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was completely hated by the Pope, by Cardinal Cajetan, by John Eck, by the Archbishop of Mainz, by everybody that was somebody when he said, the Pope is not Jesus. He's not the vicar of Christ. Any Christian armed with the Bible is more powerful. But that was an upset for people. Because in the Roman Catholic Church, everybody had the lockstep. They had to do what they were told or the fires of hell would be put before you. So they had fear, and they can motivate you by fear and guilt. But Martin Luther discovered in the Bible, here's what he discovered. I'm going to read to you what he actually discovered. I greatly longed to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans. Nothing stood in the way except one expression. Justitia Dei. It's Latin. It means the righteousness or the justice of God. Justitia Dei. He said, that's the only thing that's troubling me. What is God's righteousness? Is it that righteousness that condemns me when I sin? Because I'm not holy? Or is it that righteousness that makes me righteous because I believe in Jesus? Do y'all see his dilemma? God is holy, no question. But is his holiness that condemns me for not being holy? Or is it that holiness that makes me holy because I believed in Jesus who is holy? Which is weird. What a weird idea. That's called imputed, declared, just accounted righteousness. In other words, you're really not righteous, but God accounts you righteous because Jesus is righteous and you believed in Jesus as your righteousness. Because Jesus said, I'm righteous, but I'm not righteous for myself, I'm righteous for you. And you believed it and took it and said, okay, then I'm right with God. Forget all the works I've done or the bad works I've done or just forget all my works, good and bad. The only works I need is what Jesus did. He already did them. He gave them to me. I'm taking them. Wouldn't that be powerful? To build a relationship, a marriage, a love affair with God, not based on your goodness, not based on your performance, good or bad, based only on God's mercy and grace and unconditional love to you. Here's Jesus. He did it for you. That's amazing. That's amazing how just believing would count for a hill of beans. Why would believing that Jesus was good make me good? Just that I believed that He was good and He was good for me made me good. And I wasn't any good. And I knew I wasn't any good and He knew I wasn't any good. That's why He said He was good, because He knew I was no good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And since God wanted perfection out of me, not just in heaven, on earth, I was going to pull that off. So He said, well, here's how I'm going to start. Just believe that Jesus was perfect. He was perfect for you. Take that as a good start. Then later I'll kill you. I'll transform you. I'll fix you until you're perfect like me. Not in heaven, on earth. How many are already perfect on earth? So you don't really believe that the one who died for you, who was perfect, could actually make you perfect today and kill your old man so that you could actually live your new man. You believe that's just something you're working at, but not something He could actually pull off. No, I believe the same one that died for me on Calvary is the same one that lives in me and through me by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to change me and alter me today so that my marriage would know it, my church would know it, and my world would know it. So that you would actually experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You would actually experience now, today, here, love, joy, peace, patience. You could experience all the fruits of God, not in heaven, but on earth. And others could see it and give glory to the Father in heaven because they saw it, not just heard about it, not just heard that you believed in Jesus, but they saw faith active in love. If you're a believer, a Christian, you should be joyful all the time. Make no provision for the flesh. There should never be a time when you complain. Now, is there anyone here who's been complaining this last week? Ah, it's terrible. Now, here's the problem. The problem is not that you're no good. The problem is you don't believe Jesus is good. That He's good, yes, to save me and forgive me, but He's not good to empower me and transform me and enable me. He's weak right there. No, not true. The same Jesus that died on the cross is the same Jesus through the Holy Spirit that now lives in you to change and alter you in your marriage, in your life, in your business, in your world. That's why the church is dead today, as it was in Luther's day, as it's always been. It's dead because no one believes that Jesus is truly not only Savior, but also Lord. As a Lord, He can command you to do something and you can do it. Not by your strength, not by your goodness, not by your power, not by your wisdom, but by the power and the wisdom and the strength and the glory of God in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me now. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave Himself for me. So now Jesus is not up in heaven. He's in your heart, transforming you. Not just forgiving you for your sins, but actually destroying the power of sin in your life. Wouldn't that be a better marriage? Wouldn't that be a better church? Wouldn't that be a better world? Anybody can wait for heaven to come, but why hasn't heaven come now? Jesus did not come and say, oh, let me tell you about heaven somewhere. He brought it with Him. And He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want you to be like me, spirit, soul, body, in every way, here. Not there. Jesus is not coming back for a whore. He's not coming back for a harlot. What's a whore? What's a harlot? It means you call yourself church, but you still are bound in sin. You got a spot or a wrinkle. One spot, one wrinkle, that's enough. You're a harlot. No, he is coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. Could that be you? Or do you think, like the devil, that, well, that's something you kind of aim at, but it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen here and now because God's not powerful enough to do that. He's powerful enough to forgive me, but he's not powerful enough to transform me into his likeness today. Forget tomorrow, forget yesterday. Today. Could you be happy today? Could you have love today? Could you have peace today? Could you be patient today? Could you be kind today? Could you have self-control today, etc., etc.? Could you have those things actually operating in your life so that people would say, because of the good work you've just performed, I give glory to God the Father. When men see your good works, you didn't do them, he did them in you, but the good works that came out of you, they give glory to the Father which is in heaven. How can they give glory to the Father in heaven if you don't do any good works? And of course you can't do them, but it's no longer you that live. It's Christ liveth in you. And therefore, he who once walked the earth is still walking the earth through your hands, through your mouth, through your lives, changing you into his image and likeness. Right? Now, here's what Luther discovered. I greatly longed to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, which we just read. Nothing stood in the way, except that one expression, justitia Dei, the righteousness of God. Because I took it to mean that righteousness whereby God is righteous. He's holy. He's just. And he deals justly in punishing the unjust. So that's the way Luther understood it. If we're not perfect, then God's going to have to condemn us. Because he's perfect and we're not. So he has to condemn us. Okay? That's one way to understand it. That's how the Roman Catholic Church taught it. And that's why he fasted week after week, went naked in his room when it was in the middle of winter, just to prove that he loved God, which only made him shiver and hate God. Did extra chores, read his Bible over much, confessed his sins for 5 and 6 hours a day to the head guy. He would say, I got to confess my sins. No, is that you, Martin? No. You just go on and on and on. Because he said, no. The Catholic Church teaches that you must have oratio, meaning you must actually say every sin with your mouth orally. So you can't just say, God, forgive me all my sins. You have to name each one. So he would spend 5 and 6 hours, and then he'd walk out and feel, well, thank God, I confessed them all. I believe I got every one. Ah, then pride would get him. Oh, God, I got to go back. See, he'd go back in and say, no, Father, I've got to confess some more sin. I was proud that I confessed all my sins. But now I got to confess pride. And he'd be in there for another 2 hours. And they would do everything they could to avoid him. They would do everything they could to say, Martin, go and sin a real sin. Then come back. These sins are just over scrupulousness. They're too much. They're too much. God is merciful. How about the mercy of Jesus? No, you have to confess every sin orally. And I don't want to miss one. So he caught them. He caught the Roman Catholic Church, not by being a bad Catholic, but by being the best Catholic ever. And that's why his conscience struck him constantly. That he could never do enough to please God. Because God is holy and we are not. And he knew that even though outwardly he did everything right, he knew it was just lip service. It was cold. There was no warmth. There was no heart. There was no real love of God. Why? Because he didn't know the gospel. That the righteousness of God is not that righteousness by which God is righteous and condemns you for not being righteous. But God is righteous by forgiving you through the Lord Jesus Christ, making him your righteousness. He didn't know that until this moment. My situation was that although an impeccable monk, I stood before God as a sinner, troubled in his conscience. I had no confidence in my merit. Therefore, I did not love a just and angry God. Rather, I hated him, and I murmured against him. Yet, I clung to the dear Paul, and I had a great yearning to know, what is he talking about? The righteousness of God. Night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God, the righteousness of God, and that statement that the just shall live by works? No, the just shall live by faith. That troubled him. Wow, if you're living by faith, then you don't have any faith in yourself. You have faith in someone else. Jesus, he's my righteousness. He's all my righteousness. He's in heaven with the Father. That's where all my righteousness is. I don't have any down here. I don't need any down here. All my righteousness is upstairs, where Satan can't touch it. That was such a new thought. He was afraid even to believe such a thing. Well, that would make it cheap. That would make it too easy. That God would just love me and I don't deserve it. This is what made the modern world. This is what made the world we live in today. And now, those that are our leaders are trying to take us back to this old idea of behave yourself and be good and be decent. No, it's not going to work. Yes, you can outwardly force me, but you can't make me actually be a good person. The more you want me to change and lose weight and be decent, the more I will gain weight and I will not be decent. Did you hear what I said? If somebody won't love me exactly the way I am at my worst, then too bad. I ain't changing. I'm not going to change. Now, I knew my wife did not like the way I behaved. I deliberately misbehaved. If she would say, Jim, you know, that's wrong what you're doing, then I'd do it twice. Do y'all see that? It's a little stubbornness. But if I would say something about her, criticize her, she also didn't want to have to change to earn my love. She just wanted me to love her for no reason at all. You see that? So I realized, well, I would have to be dead to do that as she would. To love my wife, I would have to be dead. I couldn't be me. Because I don't like her the way she is. She's not right. She's not perfect. She doesn't even worship me. Did y'all hear what I just said? I mean, that's all I was asking. Just worship me. Just simply totally trust me. Let me abuse you, misuse you, and enjoy it. No, she didn't want that. She wanted me actually to love her and care for her and give up me. What a selfish woman. Can y'all see that? Can y'all see that? So we were both struggling for control of the deal. You see? I'm going to dominate this thing because I'm the head. And she said, you're supposed to love me because Jesus said to. We'll fight over that. See who's going to win on that one. It's going to be me. I will out-argue you. I will outlast you. You're not going to win. Do you all see that? So the only way you could win would be over my dead body. So that's what God heard. He overheard that. And he went, aha, aha. So now we have what it's going to take. All I had to do is kill Jim. And when he did, I fell in love. Isn't that amazing? When I no longer worried about myself. Do you know why? Why could I stop loving and taking care of myself and love and take care of her? Why? Easy. Because God took care of me. And I didn't need my wife to take care of me. I didn't need my wife to behave. I didn't need my wife to respond. I didn't need my wife to do anything. I realized Jesus met all my needs. And therefore, I didn't have to defend myself, attack her. I could just let her be anything she wanted to be. She could swear at me. She could not cook for me. She could not clean house. She could bite me. She did all those things. Not a problem. I loved it. I loved it. And in fact, the more she did, the more I fell in love with her. I liked it when she was nasty and mean. I liked it. I like it. It's good. Do you all understand? Not because it's good, but because God is good. And because God says, it doesn't matter what someone doesn't do or does do, drop it. I dropped it on you, you drop it on them. Don't worry about that they look this way and that. Stop that. I took care of you, you're blessed. Because He first loved us, we love others. You all see that? And now, your problem in not loving others is you do not know what love is. You have never been loved. No, I know God loves me. Yeah, in your head. But you don't know it in your heart. Because if you ever got it into your heart, you would let people go. You would suddenly let them go. Let my people go. Let them go. Stop holding them up to some standard. Let them go. Anyway, Luther was night and day pondering this, and then he saw, what does it mean, the just shall live by his faith? Then I grasped that the justice of God, the mercy of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies the ungodly. You have to be ungodly for God to justify you. If you were godly, He could not justify you. You have to be a sinner. Well, praise God, I was pre-qualified. I was pre-qualified. I thought to myself, wow, this is too good to be true. I don't think this could be true. This cannot be right. I must have misread it. Like Luther, I couldn't understand the words. How could God like sinners when He hates them? And I am one. And I'm always going to be one, and I'm not going to ever change. But yet, it said in the Bible that He loves sinners. He said, I didn't even come for the righteous. I came for sinners. I couldn't understand that. That didn't make any sense. Whatever God meant, it couldn't be that. And yet there it was. And like Luther, I had to wrestle with it till it sunk in. That God is holy and He does hate sin, but He put that on Jesus and it no longer applies to you. Wow. So the law still is there. It just doesn't apply to me. Because all my sin, Jesus took on the cross, and I don't have any now. Even though I still do it, He keeps taking it. He bought all my sin, past, present, future. He just bought the whole package. Whatever Jim has done, I'll pay for that. Whoa, prepaid. That is unbelievable. I'm covered? I didn't even take it out. I didn't even buy the insurance. Really? I'm covered? What for? Well, He's always liked you. Me? No way. And I don't even like Him, and I'm not going to appreciate Him either. I'll let you know that right now. So now what? He just loves you so much. Stop it. I don't want you to love me. Get away. I'll kill you. Get away. Don't you dare love me. I don't want anyone to love me, because I know anyone that loves me is trying to get something. They just want to use me. Rape me. Exploit me. They want something out of me. They want me to be reliable two times in a row. You see, I don't want that. Because Peggy used to always have a list of all the stuff I did. And if I would ever say anything, I'd say, well, what did I do wrong? She had that list. She'd bring it out. She had a perfect memory of all my sins. And she could articulate them perfectly. It didn't even, you know, but I asked her about her sins. Well, aren't you a sinner too? Well, yes. Like what? I don't know. I can't think of anything. Well, I'll think of something. I'll think of something. But it was really hard for me because I didn't care. Do y'all understand that? That's what, if you can make your marriage work, you could make anything work. If you could get along with your mate, you could get along with anybody. If you can't get along with one, you can't get along with any. I'm going to say that again. If you don't love one, you don't love any. If you can love one, you can love all. So when you learn to lay your life down for one, you've actually learned to lay your life down for all, including enemies, including people that despitefully use you, including people that are doing wrong, who deliberately, consciously want to hurt you. Those are the ones to bless. Those are the ones to bless. Did you know you could do that? You can actually turn all your enemies, into friends. Not that they're friends, but you can treat them as friends. They hate you, but you can love them and forgive them and seek no ill toward them. Why? Because God has done that to me. We love because He first loved us. The whole of Scripture, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through the open doors of paradise. The whole of Scripture took on new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. So the very verses that he hated, he now learned to love. The holiness of God scared him. Now, it was his greatest blessing. Did you realize you could actually upside down your whole life? You can reverse everything. That everything that once you feared, you no longer fear. That everything you once loved, you no longer love. You no longer love or care about. Did you know you could do that? You could actually completely reverse your whole life. I did. And best thing ever happened to me. I didn't cooperate. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. But Jesus didn't force it on me either. I don't know how it happened. It was just listening to the Word of God. Listening to this Word, this is the truth that set me free. Yet, I didn't even understand it till one day. One day, and it was a long time. It took about 7 years. It took a long time for me to get a hold of it. I heard it. I saw the words. I understood what everybody was saying. I could repeat it. I could write a book on it. But it didn't have any personal meaning to me until one day. One day. Then I was set free. Forever. Forever. Did that ever happen to you? Did that happen to you? Did that happen to you? Have you had that personal love affair where you just completely altered your life? You weren't working at it slowly. It just happened. You were at peace. You had love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It just simply happened. Powerful. It's powerful. Thank God it came before my children were very old. Kara had been born already. And I knew I'd destroy her, you know, eventually. But I knew for a couple of years I'd probably have a little leeway there. Because little kids are dumb and they don't know anything. She'll think I'm nice until she finds out how devious I really am. So I told God, I remember telling God, whom I didn't believe in, God, look, I don't believe in you. But if you were to make me a Christian, this would be a good time. Because that little girl is going to believe in me, going to like me, then I'm going to be exposed, and then she's going to be hurt, disappointed. I don't know, it bothered me. It's like, that's not fair to dump them on a little kid. You want to like just change me or alter me or do whatever you do. Whatever you think you do, do it. And could you get it done quick? Only got a couple of years on this little kid. This was the day she was born. On the day she was born, I already saw exactly what's going to happen. She's going to end up just like me. She's not going to be phony like my wife. She's going to be real like me. Because I'll ruin her. So if we have any more, I'll ruin them too. So you better kill me quick. Well, God did. God did. I mean, you could say it was a genuine prayer, but it just really, I don't know why I did it. I didn't have any noble reason. It just seemed a shame to have this little baby, whom I didn't even know. It kind of made me feel different about life. This little kid, unlike Peggy, who's kind of geared against me, this little kid will be geared for me. She'll like me. I know I'm a deceiver. She'll fall for me. And then I'll break her heart. I'll crush her. Now, that even the worst pagan somehow has a little decency in him or whatever. I don't know. It kind of came out like that. Now, I really wasn't decent. But I don't know what that did, what that was. But I remember that day praying, and I'm not much of a prayer. I was a pastor, but I was not a Christian. And I knew I wasn't. Somebody would say to me, "Well, Pastor Jim, you're such a wonderful preacher." I knew that. I was just pay up. Don't worry about all that wonderful preacher stuff. Just put the money in the offering. Because I love this job, because as a pastor, it's the easiest job on earth. All you got to do is, first of all, baptize them when they're little, confirm them when they get a little older, marry them, and bury them. That's it. People are totally happy with you. Really. They don't want much more out of you, like just do your things. And I knew how to do those. I was very good at doing all those. But I had nothing genuine in me till that time when God began to work on me. And He had to change me, not by some experience, but by the Word of God. Just understanding of the Word of God. Like, what is this stuff? What is this that I'm preaching and kind of believe in intellectually, but I don't believe in personally? What is this? This passage of Paul became to me a gate to heaven. If you have a true faith that Christ is your Savior, then at once you have a gracious God. For faith leads you in and opens up God's heart and will, so that you should see pure grace and overflowing love. That it is to behold God in faith, that you should look upon His fatherly, friendly heart. New picture of God. This first time in Martin Luther's life, he ever saw God as fatherly and friendly. Just because of this verse. In which there is no anger and no ungraciousness. He who sees God as an angry judge does not see Him rightly, but looks only on a curtain, as if a dark cloud had been drawn across His face. So, how do you see God? Not intellectually, but in your heart. How do you see God? Do you see Him as a loving Father who graciously doesn't just tolerate your sin, but forgives you truly and loves you before you change, before you feel guilty, and before you make any efforts? Because after that love breaks you, you won't make any efforts. And you won't feel guilty. Because the love of God is so powerful that once you hear it in your heart, it'll absolutely change the world, starting with you. And you'll fall in love with Him. I didn't stop sinning. I fell in love with Jesus. And the sin just never was able to take hold again. Do you all understand that? I didn't say, "Well, I'm not going to lust anymore. I'm not going to be angry anymore. I'm not going to be bitter anymore. I'm not going to be jealous anymore." I didn't say anything. I just fell in love with Jesus. Beholding Him, we are changed. The more I behold Him, I didn't behold myself changing. I beheld Him unchanging. And I changed. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory, and it never ends. This is powerful. Has this happened to you? Has this happened to you? You can actually sense the power of God at work in you, changing you, not making you change. But He, the same Jesus that died on the cross for you, is the same Jesus that lives in you through the Holy Spirit to change and alter you now by just saying, "Jim, don't look at your sin. Look at Me. Look at My love. I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I just want you to have it. You don't have to earn it. I just want to give it to you." I'll tell you, that is an offer nobody on earth could ever give you. That is an offer you will never find on this earth. No one's ever going to give you anything for free. When the government does a benefit for you, you've become its slave. They will charge you for that. Anytime the government gives anything away, if a government ever pretends to be good, which our government now does. That's when it is the most satanic and the most evil. And this is not just with Obama. This is with George Bush. This is with the last 100 years of American presidents. Especially ever since FDR. That government is on your side. No, it's not. Government's only job is to be a slave and knock off the enemies outside, inside, and themselves. The only enemies we have are foreign aggressors, criminals inside, and the government itself. That's what government should do. Protect us from those three. Restrain itself from eating up your liberties. But government today, because it's a good government, it pretends like it's God, like we do. It's a government that we deserve, because it's just like us. Oh, we're good people. Oh, we're wonderful people. No, you're not. You're liars. Everybody here is a liar, apart from Jesus. Everybody here is nasty, selfish. You only care for yourself. Even when you're nice to others, it's just so you can get something. And it's real easy to prove. All we have to do is neglect you and ignore you, and we'll hear from you. Well, she didn't even say hello today. I can't believe Ethel did that. I sent her a birthday card, too. I won't from here on. The people are petty. People are in love with this world. They don't want Jesus. They want Jesus plus a good marriage, plus money, plus good looks. Well, those things are impossible. Do you all see that? You're not going to get a good marriage, and you're not going to get, you know, Jesus plus juice and stuff. You're not going to get that. What God wants to give you is a beating. That's what you need. How many can say amen? Yeah, you need a spanking because you're a wicked beyond measure. And he needs to kill off your old man till it's not there anymore. So all he needs to do is have your permission. Just surrender to him. Say, God, send me through the fire. Burn me up. Afflict me. Give me a bad husband, a bad wife. Give me troubles everywhere. In the world you have trouble, I want them all. Best thing ever happened to you. Do you all see this? You're not laughing anymore. What you need is spankings. The father that loves his son chastens him. Takes out a rod and beats him until he realizes you will not do what you want. You will do what I say. That's the way God treated me. That was the best way to treat me. Did I like it? No. Did I want it? No. But now that I got it, best thing ever happened to me. Killed my flesh, purified my spirit. That's unbelievable. Best thing. Now I love to serve Peggy. I do. And you. I love not to eat or sleep or drink or do anything, but to please. Now that doesn't mean what you want. That's not saying I'm going to do what you want. I'm talking about what Jesus says you need. Did you see the difference? No. We don't do what you want. We don't do what the kids want. We love them by not giving them what they want, but giving them what they need, that Jesus says, this is what they need. Hello? Do y'all see that? So we don't coddle people. We tell them the truth, even if they hate us, even if they're mad, even if they're angry. Best thing ever happened. In fact, let them kill me. When you tell somebody the truth, I love you. Most people hate themselves. I'll say it even stronger. All people hate themselves. But most people hate themselves. So if you love them, they're going to hate you. Because they hate themselves. So how can you love them when they hate themselves? It troubles them. So even though they pretend like they like your love, they actually hate it. Because they know they don't deserve it. And not only that, they will hurt you as much as anybody could ever do. You love somebody, you'll find hatred coming right back. Disappointment, hurt. Well, I thought you loved me. They'll punish you all day long. Because it really, love scares them. Love scares people. When God comes to love us, we kill him. Jesus came down to love us, to forgive the Jewish people, to forgive all mankind, So they conspired together to kill him. That's the way love is treated in this world. Did you all see that? Same in your family. The more you love one of your children, the more they'll hate and despise you. The more you neglect them, the better off. Don't fool yourself that the ones you're giving all this attention to care and are appreciative. They'll abuse you. They'll take you for granted. They'll hurt you. They'll break your heart. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't love them. I'm just saying don't expect them to appreciate it. When we love unconditionally. We don't love because we get something back. We love because we don't get something back. We love because it's right. We love because He first loved us. I hope you're blessed today. Martin Luther absolutely changed the world. I could give you his whole life story. On a daily basis, almost. I can almost repeat his life, not only year by year by year, but event by event, moment by moment, what he thought, what he felt, what he said, what happened. But you know what? In the end, the thing that's neat about him is he believed that God, the living God, is the center of his life and of the universe. Today, we believe that man is the center of the universe. We're all humanists. We're all relativists. We all believe there are no absolutes. That's why we can just experiment and do as we wish. The founding fathers believed the opposite. Like Luther, they believed there was right and wrong. And right never changed. And wrong never changed. They believed that the law of God was good for us because it restrained us and stopped us and kept us from doing what we would otherwise do. They did not believe that law could get you into heaven. They believed only Jesus could do that. They believed only religion had to be protected by the state, not by helping it, not by being hostile to it, but by leaving it alone. This belongs to God. Your morals to other people belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the state. State has nothing to do with what I do with God, has nothing to do with what I do with others. The few laws that the state should make, today it has multitudes because it's a good God. It's a good God over you. It's a good state. No, it's an evil state because it does too much. Few laws, few transgressions. Many laws, many transgressions. Today they pass laws all the time. I would vote no on every law that has ever passed. But unfortunately, people are fools, and you're voting your own strength away. Every time you vote yes to something, it's more money out of your pocket. It's more freedom from your life. And there's no God. There's no God. So, you get to choose. Martin Luther was the first modern man. He chose God. God is the center of everything. The rest, the Renaissance, the humanists, the enlightened ones, the French Revolution, and now today America, the communists, the socialists, they all believe man is the measure of all things. Skip God. I don't believe you can skip God. Not only will they not win, ever, we will. Why? Because there is a God. And just like I lived a life without Him, God yet found me. He found me and said, I can take this rotten, no good, wicked, selfish person and kill him and make him a new man. That's what He can do for you. But you have to get beat up. You have to want to die. I die daily, Paul said. So, how many are ready? God, whatever it takes. To be perfected, it's not going to come from just a few laws. Whatever it takes, do it. I'll not complain anymore. Put me through the fire. Beat the tar out of me till there's nothing left. Okay, let's have a couple testimonies of people that are excited about that. Let's have some testimonies. Praise God. Powerful. Hallelujah. Who else? Who else? It's good. Perfect testimony. Who else? Who else? Nobody else? Good. You see, killed is the neatest thing of all. When you lose your life, you find it. When you keep your life, you lose it. So the more you try to keep everything together, you're going to lose it. That's what we're doing now. We're losing everything. So the easy way is just lose it all. Give it to Jesus. Then you get it all back. By the way, we're going to win. I mean, I just want you to know right now. And it's not because the other guys are bad guys. It's because we, the good guys, aren't good. Only God is good. Let God be good. Let every man else be a liar. Don't worry about that. Let God take care of it. Who else? So one more. One more. There's another one here. I know it. Who else?
It's so wonderful seeing, I mean, going through all that. You know my past.
Yeah.
And going through that and finding that in a revelation of the fact.
Powerful.
The new creation I am.
Yeah.
With Him.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Him.
Woohoo! Right.
But I'm with
them. Yeah.
We're with them, actually.
Yes.
And we're in love. And it's what's cool mm-hmm. is that our love can sometimes wane. His love is constant.
Yeah.
It never
yeah.
wanes.
Never wanes.
And knowing our value to Him.
Yeah.
That He gave Jesus
yep.
for us.
Amen.
His only begotten Son.
Woohoo! I love it. I love it. Great testimony. Amen. One more. One more. Yes.
Mm. And you know, we talk about the dead, that's the free indeed.
Yep, that's the free indeed. The minute yourself is dead, you'll finally live. After death comes resurrection.
Amen.
The minute yourself is dead, it's the last thing you're hanging on to it so tight. Let it go. Yourself does nothing. Love you all. God is good.